Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is your boy Ant from the Brand Broadcast.
We got a special episode for y'all today.
It's so special that I don't even know about
this. Is episode number 25.
25.
And it only took us a year and a half.
And we're going to make it live. It's like my college degree.
You got 25 school credits in 3 years.
So that's what it feel like.
That might be a lot for, what is it, 3 credit degree? Anyway, guys, for you on the podcast, we are live on Facebook.
Live on Facebook.
With our one faithful user.
Hey, what's up, viewer? And while we're at the beginning, why don't you let everybody know how you can get a hold of us?
All right, guys. Well, if you want, if you're listening to this podcast live, which I know you're not because we don't do that, you can log on to our Facebook group, Berea. BEREA.
Capital B.
And that's our main source of communication. We're closing in on 1,000 members. I want to do something special when we get there, if we ever get there.
We'll get on there.
We have some chats going on. We have communication. I'm trying to keep polls going on and different things like that. But also, you can contact us for the show directly. We have a Gmail, theberianbroadcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter, both at Berea. Correct?
That's correct. That's correct. You know, I've been following this 90s radio station, and just the guy that is talking on there, be like, "Welcome to 101.3." Like, changes his voice and everything. So I think I might try that.
All right. I mean, I'm cool with that.
Welcome to the Berean Broadcast.
I like it.
It's your boy Ant.
All right, guys. So as you start coming in on Facebook Live, you gotta, to be enrolled into this thing, you gotta pop up a question. So you guys come on here, throw in a question for us. And Ant didn't prepare nothing for today, so y'all better give him some material to talk about.
And if I can't answer it, I'm just gonna go right to you. I'll call an outside line.
Phone a friend?
I'll phone a friend. That's phone funny. A pastor.
Well,
the pastor's very theological, and he knows a lot of stuff I don't.
I would hope so. I would sure hope so.
Oh, man.
When I went to the church and Ant was the pastor.
Give me some time. Did you see that Facebook post I posted?
Straight out.
That Facebook post I posted, which is you plug in your Facebook and it tells you what role you're going to play in church. It said pastor.
There's 3 options on there.
It said pastor.
And you probably clicked the exact questions that you knew was answers.
And they didn't give you questions. You just click it and you log in.
Can you log into Facebook for me while you're right here?
Sure.
I wanted to talk about the poll that came up recently.
Okay.
I wanted to read the results because I know that not too many people went on there lately.
Hey, just hit Berea right there.
I said, I know how to work Facebook.
I hope so. That's iPhone.
You just don't want me to see anything by accident.
Ain't nothing you want to see by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Put on my religious views.
That's what I'm scared about. All right, so what I wanted to start with was talking about this poll. I've been reading a lot. Not reading a lot, but just a lot of topics in my podcast and things have been coming up with talking about the Lord's Supper,
mm-hmm.
different views and things like that. So I was just interested on what would some of how often people in Berea take the Lord's Supper.
Okay. My church does it once a month.
Once a month?
Yeah, did I put that there?
No, you did not.
Okay, I'm a bad at it.
Why not?
I thought I did. I just did it for you. Oh, thank you.
You know what's funny though is Val started this poll for me, and she didn't click on it either. So
you could rebuke her when you get home. You're responsible for your household. You don't want to have to answer for that.
So we have 10 out of our 900 people. But it's a new poll. It's only been out there for not even 24 hours.
Well, how many options do you have there?
So I have, how often does your church partake of the Lord's Supper? Once a month, every week, every other week, or never?
Okay.
If
it's never, you're definitely not a church.
Well, it's funny you say that because that's part of my reason for putting that up there.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm going to tune into the Berean Broadcast.
Well, we're going to get there. But it looks like we have 6 people taking it once a month, including yourself now.
Okay.
And then we have 4 people, including myself and my wife. And it happens to be everybody from my church who takes it once a week.
Okay.
And I got to admit, I cannot imagine not taking it every week now. If I didn't take it every week, I don't know if I could make it. It's really made a difference on my life, I think. Starting to take it the way we're taking it now, my new view of it, the right sacraments, in my opinion. Like, all that has just changed a lot for me. So I was like, man, if I had to take this thing once a month, it'd be hurting.
So question, why do people take it once a month or once a week? Like, well, what leads a person?
I think it's just preference. I think it's just pastoral preference.
Okay.
To be honest, I was just curious.
Do y'all use the little chips with the cross on it, or like extra bread?
If the podcast could see the look that I just gave you,
my belly just rumbled because now I'm thinking of bread.
That's funny.
Matcha juice,
well,
is bread.
Okay, well,
wine,
that's,
and grape juice.
Well, that's funny that you brought that up because that's part of the conversation. So, the sacraments are bread and wine. And again, I can't see myself ever taking anything else and ever, you know what I mean? Ever again. I cannot see myself taking wafers. I cannot see myself drinking
with the cross on it.
I've never had that. What's that? That's the Catholic wafer. Oh man.
I don't know. It's got these little, yeah, that's what happens. It turns off when it's on the same book. Yeah, they're like little wafers and, you know, they got the cross on it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know if that's blasphemy, putting the cross on something you're about to eat.
What?
I don't know. Just everything that I you know, it's funny because everything that I've been coming across, somebody posted this weird picture of Randy Savage giving Jesus like the elbow.
Giving him the elbow?
Jesus, like it was like a bathroom in place, and I was like, your bath water is gonna turn to acid if you don't take that down.
You know what Jesus looks like?
No, well, it's not Jesus, but it's that guy, that painter, Sergio something something Caesar.
Yeah, well, it's not Jesus. Anyway, what was happening?
I don't know. Somebody just posted it.
Randy Savage?
I just said it's blasphemy.
Who was it?
I don't know. And he's on my friends list. And I don't know. I just got people on there. Because this is my philosophy. Just have random people on there because you never know who's going to get saved from the gospel.
Hey, I mean,
what can you say? You know?
True. So, okay, let's rewind a little bit.
Okay.
The reason why that came up in my mind is because I've been thinking a lot about what we call the marks of a true church.
Okay.
So, you know, I was taking the deacon ordination exam recently, and so there's a lot of studying and training that came with that. And one of that was, you know, part of that was understanding the marks of a true church. And we talked about three marks of a true church. It was the faithful preaching of God's word, or the right preaching of God's word. Rightly, the correct use of sacraments, and faithful church discipline. They were the three. Okay. So I want to kind of explore those just in discussion form. In one way or another, in Berea coming up, you know. But I want to start that with people taking the sacraments. And I was just curious if there's anybody's church in there that doesn't take the sacraments. That was my curiosity.
Well, I think we should define the sacraments, because I know a lot of people who are going to be like, well, what are the sacraments? Sacraments.
I was going to
what did I say? Sacraments?
Sacuments. Well, that's good. That's really good. So, depending on your church, I guess, some people believe in seven. Some people believe in two. We believe in two. Being a Protestant church. And we see the sacraments as Lord's Supper and baptism. So, it's our teaching that you're considered a true church, regardless of your denomination, regardless of your differences, if those three things are held. Obviously, we're talking within Christendom. We're not talking about, you know, deniers of the Trinity or things like that. So, if you are baptizing, if you are rightfully giving the Lord's Supper. And that's why I want to start that, because I feel like it can be so complex. And my wife and I struggled with this for so long because we felt like we were wrongly taking the sacraments for a while. And it got to the point where we even didn't take it for some time because we'd rather not take it than to take it incorrectly.
Now, okay, so here's a question. Because I don't know if we talked about this personally. Ooh, that's going to come up bad. How was you taking the sacraments wrongly?
So, I believe that I believe we were worthy receivers. And what I mean by that is, you know, Paul calls us to examine ourselves fully before taking it. I believe we were doing that. But the way that it was given was done in a way for superficial benefits. So at the particular church we were going to, there was always an emphasis on taking the body of Christ for your own physical healing. And the grape juice for circumstantial healing. You know, finances, jobs, things like that.
And oh, wow. I never knew that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's nowhere to be found. That's all man-made tradition. So once we even just started taking, you know, a peek into what the Lord's Supper was supposed to be, we weren't even nowhere close to where we are now in our understanding. And it was just bothering us. So we had stopped it for a while. But, you know, I can remember going to the church in Philadelphia, and I didn't take the Lord's Supper once in the year and a half that I was there. They didn't even offer it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that must be one of the examples that you said about never taking a church.
Well, that's my concern was, as some of these new, you know, some of these newer, like, emergent type churches, I have yet to see, not that they don't, and I'm not putting anybody in a big clump together, but I never took it there, and I see lots of pictures.
And you was there for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And you would have took it eventually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not like we missed it one Sunday. But I've yet to see it. I've yet to see it I'm friends with tons of people who go to these types of churches or any, I mean, I don't see it. And so I was just curious. And then, you know, I was going to strike up discussion about those who maybe go to a church where they take it less than, you know, I do or whatever, you know, and just see what they felt about it. And that was really kind of my intention there.
Oh, okay. Well, it's nice to know that, you know, the backstory on why you put that there. I thought all churches took it at least once a month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Are they really a church if they don't take it?
My opinion, no. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to have other opinions, but I believe that you should have that sacrament.
Well, you're not alone in that thought, and that's exactly what I wanted to bring it up. So that brings us kind of to the next part. You know, there's different views of what happens during the Lord's Supper.
Okay.
Right? So we have the historical four views. Yeah, four views. You know, that kind of stemmed from the Reformation. We have the Catholic transubstantiation, which is the teaching that the priest changes the actual elements into the body and blood of Christ. Which is also a difference that they have is, and I've never experienced this, but I've heard this from others, is that they actually dip they have this big flat wafer, and they dip it in wine, and then they give it to the person. So, and I think, and that's a practice called intinction that has become popular even in some Protestant churches where they dip it instead of drinking it. And that's a whole nother discussion. I don't really feel qualified to speak on that topic, but it is interesting.
Yeah, I'm new to hearing a lot of this.
Well, it's you know, it caused a lot of concern because, you know, you're hindering people from taking the cup, and Christ told us to take this cup and drink of it. And so there's a whole thing to go down that road. But that's their view. The priest has a power given by God to change the actual elements into Christ's body and blood. Then you have the Lutheran view, which is called consubstantiation, which they don't think they hold to. That's a big spider.
That's Melvin.
And then, what's up, Melvin? So that view is not so much that the priest turns the elements into the actual body and blood, but that the elements themselves contain throughout it the body and blood of Christ. So in, under, and all around it is the body and blood of Christ.
Okay.
So the famous analogy is the horseshoe with fire. Right, we talked about that before.
Oh yeah.
You take the horseshoe, you put it in the fire to mold it. When it comes out, it's bright red. The fire is on the horseshoe, but the horseshoe is still the horseshoe, and the fire is still the fire, but it's all around it.
Okay.
So that's kind of the Lutheran view. Then we have my view, which was Calvin's view at the time, which is we call it like the real presence. So. Before I really describe that, the last view is what's most popular today, the memorial view.
It's symbolism.
Right. It's just that we're supposed to take the cracker and the bread and the wine, and it's just to be remembering. You know, we just look back and remember Christ. And then there's some churches that don't find any use of the sacraments. Like, I don't think they're a church, but like the Quakers and some that developed from the Anabaptist type movements. They don't see any need for it. But the most popular view is the memorial view. So my view, the Reformed view, is that it's not nothing, but it's also not physical body and blood.
Okay.
So Calvin described it as a spiritual presence that somehow, by the working of the Holy Spirit, we commune on Christ at the table. And there's a description of it. It's not as if Christ comes down from his throne to every table and we like literally feast on him, but that in some way we are like brought to him in spirit.
Okay.
To feast on him. And that's what he meant by saying, this is my body and this is my blood.
Okay.
So he certainly said that in John 6. And then later on he said, this is a spiritual. What I've said is spiritual. And that's where I think a lot of the debate has come from.
Okay. And I noticed that there's a lot of people who will spend hours and hours and hours arguing about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's certainly an important topic, too. It's one worthy of arguing with. Not fighting, but just discussing.
Just discussing.
So let me read you our confession, what our confession says. I'm reading from the Confession, chapter 29. This is number 7. It says, worthy receivers, and remember I said that earlier, is those who are able, and I'll get into that a little bit more in a second, but it says, worthy receivers, outwardly partaking of these visible elements of the sacrament, do then inwardly, by faith, really and indeed, but not cardinally or corporally, but spiritually receive and feed upon Christ crucified and all the benefits of his death, the body and blood of Christ being then not corporally or carnally in, with or under the bread, yet as really, spiritually present to the faith of the believers in this ordinance, as the elements themselves are also outward to their sense. So it pretty much just sums up what I just said
with,
you know, Calvin's view of it. So the whole chapter is like talking about how these other views are kind of wrong, you know, with making it to be the physical corporal body and blood. And when it talks about worthy receivers, as another distinctive we have is that our church is credo communion. And what that means is that we don't allow children to take communion.
Okay.
And that's another difference, you know?
Yeah.
Most churches don't do that. And I know, like, my brother, when he first came to the church, his kids were forbidden from taking it. Our elder fenced the table.
Okay.
You know, warned him not to take it. And, you know, there can be some offense there. There can be some confusion, like, what's going on? Like, you know, they've been in church their whole life. Why are you telling them they can't take communion? And it really goes back to that chapter. And I would read it word for you if I had the Bible. But it talks about being able to truly evaluate yourself prior to taking these elements. And in doing so, you're becoming worthy. And if you don't, you're eating judgment onto yourself if you wrongly take the Lord's Supper.
Wow.
And that's not, I mean,
that's not nothing to like, take lightly.
Right.
That you're bringing judgment upon yourself.
So elders guarding the table, or fencing the table rather, is really an important thing because they're trying to protect people from wrongly taking it.
It's like, well, maybe it's not like, but it reminds me of the Garden of Eden where angels were guarding it, but they were guarding from people from coming inside. Then it was protecting the people from, you know, it was more protecting the garden than people. I don't know why I just linked them to, but it just, you know.
Hey, man, we're going to roll with it.
Maybe the spirit was just speaking to me.
I doubt it.
You know. That's not in, like, First Jimbo 3:12.
Oh, man.
That's not out of your book, huh?
Do not give me a book of the Bible.
That wasn't a book of the Bible.
Yeah, but you're trying to connect it.
Oh my goodness, he just tried to connect himself with the Word of God.
So, man, who are we going to give this Bible away to tonight?
Nobody. Ain't nobody come up
y'all
here.
Y'all suck. It's like I lied.
Boy, I was waiting.
Woo.
I was waiting.
Got me mad on here.
We're just going to have to do it next week.
You know what it is?
What?
We should say that we're going to give it away and then not give it away.
Ooh, but then we'd be lying.
Well, they be lying when they said they was coming on you.
Who said? Oh, yeah. But listen, let that judgment be on them and not on us.
No, I'm just kidding. We did give it last minute, though.
Yeah, it was today.
You know what's funny is I saw a bunch of people jump on here.
Uh-huh. But they hopped off.
They probably thought that was enough.
Oh, okay.
Well, guess what, fellas?
It wasn't. It wasn't enough.
It was not enough. You didn't give us nothing to talk about.
Nothing.
We had to talk about the Lord's Supper all night.
You know, we had a plan today coming in here.
We had a plan to not have a plan.
Because we didn't have a plan.
And we didn't. We planned not to plan, and that plan's to fail.
And we planned it for you.
And if you don't plan, then we can't plan.
And if we can't plan, then you get a 25-minute show.
Of us rambling on.
Don't make me start singing.
That's what we should have filled it with.
We should have filled it. Somebody came on, then he left.
Right now?
Yeah.
They probably heard you say that they all sucked, and I was like, man, why would you say that?
That's because I didn't say that.
You started to.
No, that was you.
We'll let the people decide.
But it's all right, though. But that was my view of...
what do you think about everything?
Of the Lord's Supper, that it was symbolic.
That was your view, or that is your view?
That was my view. Okay. I mean, of course, now I'm in a Presbyterian church, and... He agrees with Christ being there spiritually.
Who does?
The church. I said he, right? Like, my church.
Okay. Do you agree with that?
Calvary Presbyterian.
You know, shout church. Out.
Yeah. Did I just put a plug in for you?
We'll take $10 donation for that.
I haven't really studied into the communion.
You need to move off of these hurricane.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just get on about what's popular going on.
But it's most popular in your circles. Because all you do is go on and add a bunch of...
Oneness guys to the page.
I was going to say something else.
And you know it's heretics?
No, but go ahead.
It's crazy because when I add them to the page, I never know their oneness.
No, I'm talking about all all the word of faiths.
Oh, wow. I added what was in my circle.
Nah, I'm just messing with you, bro.
And now most of them left.
Yeah, because you pushed them out.
You know, I've learned over the time to be more graceful.
You have not learned.
No, you haven't learned. We gotta talk about that too.
Have you seen your threads, bro?
You don't see my threads.
Oh, I seen some threads lately.
What threads?
I ain't gonna bring it up because
just give me a topic.
Open doors.
Open doors. I don't know what the heck you talking about.
Oh, we'll talk about it later. Because if God opens the door, no man can close it.
Yeah, that's definitely, we're going to continue on that conversation.
You thought I was saving. All right, man, at this point, I also, you know, so we talked about the Lord's Supper, so rightly giving the sacraments. I brought up to my men's group and on my Facebook Messenger today about what is rightly preaching the word.
Okay.
Because it kind of can be defined differently, you know?
Yeah.
Some people can call it one thing, some people call it another.
And most people in their church is going to say, my pastor preaches the word of God.
Right. So what do you think about that?
I think that
How would you define a rightly preaching the word?
Well, first of all,
faithfully preaching
the word. Faithfully preaching the word is good exegesis.
Ooh, he said it.
I think that's the foundation. I think a lot of pastors take a scripture out of context, and then they make a whole sermon off of that. You know, like, oh, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. Make a sermon about the devil. You know, that's the whole sermon.
Sound a little personal there.
That's not. It is personal to everybody here. Say that.
Well, it's funny.
That's like my trigger right
it's
now.
It's funny you brought that up because I think like the young, restless, and reformed groups today. I think people just love to throw that word exegesis around without really understanding what it means.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Val about this recently because I keep reading it online, and I'm like, I don't like people saying this. And proper exegesis, in my opinion, can only be done by a properly trained theologian or a student of theology. I mean, I consider my pastor or, you know, both the pastors in my church, your pastor, you know, having a graduate degree in biblical studies. You know, they've taken hermeneutics, they've taken the original languages, things like that.
Yeah.
You can't properly exegete what you haven't studied. And you can't study it without at least getting some sort of education on the original languages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that's the case, if you don't know the original language to an extent, if you don't know some of those other, you know, godly tools that are taught at these seminaries, all you basically have is to rely on the words of others about that word, right?
Yeah.
So that's a problem, is you become dependent. And I'm not saying that it's, you know, wrong for people to do that, but I think I see people in like certain Facebook groups and they'll be like, well, let me just exegete this scripture for you.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be like, you're not doing that. You're just, you know, you're quoting a commentary or you're giving your own, you know, opinion. And but I agree with you that is a mark of true teaching. I know a lot of sermons today have become Bible-less. And I started writing
What is that?
I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
I started writing a blog a while ago that never got published about the Bible-less sermon. And it's like, you know, there's a move today where pulpits are removed and there's like fancy little two-legged chair and table or whatever for the pastor to come out to speak on. Have you seen it at like some of these churches?
I have. At Elevation Church.
Hey, you know, it's funny you say that because I was thinking the same thing. But I got like 15 in mind. And it started back at some of the other churches that I used to visit. And they would come out with like a little table. And you can see it today with bringing out like the iPad and stuff. Like there's something about not bringing out the Bible. And it's not that really matters. You know, I'm nitpicking a little bit. But their sermon, they'll write a sermon and then include some scripture with it. Where in you know, a sermon is supposed to be the scripture, and then you expound on what the scripture says. And it's become opposite. It's become, here's a topic, here's what I want to talk about with the topic, here's two verses that support it. I don't know who's on the group, but if you got a question, you might win something.
If you're the only person that got a question, hey, you might be you the might, one to
we might just we gotta be men of our word, right?
Yeah.
So that's my question. So, you know, I want to be gracious. I don't want to say everyone who's not Reformed Presbyterian is not a Christian. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to be too liberal either and say everyone who has a cross and you know, says they're... Hey, what's up, man? Oh, that's Gideon.
Hey, Gideon, what's
up? So that was my question. It was like, you know, if we're talking about properly, faithfully teaching the word, what does that mean? And I was wondering if there's like more general consensus, right? And my Facebook group's up there. But there was a good thing, and one of the things that came up was being led by the Spirit in your teaching, and that brought like a subtopic up, because then I said, well, then that's a sticky subject too, because
yeah, what is led by the Spirit?
Everybody has a different idea of what that means.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be interesting to maybe start as a group, you know, discussion in Berea. Because, you know, preaching the word, if that is a true mark of a church, we have to at least know what that is. And,
okay. You
know, I might disagree with certain denominations, interpretations on doctrines or things like that. But if they're preaching the gospel, they're a church, whether I like, you know, their service or not. And that's how it should be. And I think the central point to that is that it has to be focused. The core of the teaching, the exegesis that you talked about, has to be on the gospel. And that should include, and my pastor had wrote this, Pastor Brent, that includes frequently discussing sin and salvation. I mean, you can't have preaching without those.
Yeah.
There is no preaching without those, right? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So, we still haven't got any questions, guys. So for those on live, if you have a question for us, you can be entered to win this contest that no one else is in. But
I know what, I was just talking about this with my father earlier, about how my pastor, that he builds his sermon with the gospel. But at the beginning of the sermon, like, we always, like, we recite the law of God. We recite either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. But he always gives a brief.
Can you just real quick go? Read them every week. So
I'm going to have to go online.
No, just real quick.
I read off of paper, Papa. I read off of paper, Papa. I know it's about the Trinity, though. We get it down.
Okay? I don't know what you just said. A little bit of Spanish came
in. Spanglish. Out. So listen, so
I was about to drink a Malta.
You know what? That's what we need from now on.
No. I hate those.
Well, you know, somebody come up there and accuse us of drinking alcohol on the
Look, Gideon, if you're still in here, you know what a Malta is, man.
Malta.
I'm not I don't care what it's called, man, it's disgusting.
Well, I'm just saying, so at least say it correctly.
What is it?
Malta.
Malta.
Yes. Malta.
Okay. How you say it?
Stop being a white boy.
Yo, give me that Malta.
Malt.
Well, that's what it is, right?
Malt. Yeah, it's a malt drink, yeah. So anyway, so my pastor, he
that Malta.
He gives like a brief description of what the gospel is.
Okay.
Man's state without the Holy Spirit regenerating man, that he's dead in sin, and that salvation is in God alone, and that it is solely on the Holy Spirit that brings us out of that state.
Click the comments for me.
So, nobody said nothing.
I know, I'm just curious. Anyway, go ahead. Oh, I told you not to do that.
So,
that's exactly it.
Just in case the whole point of that is, just in case he is preaching and he goes on like a little bunny trail, like at least he knows and is confident.
In the beginning?
Yeah, that he has delivered the gospel at the beginning.
So that's what I mean. I mean, if your church is truly preaching the gospel, which I'm becoming more generous. I don't try to be like a witch hunter anymore, where I'm like, let's find all the heathens. You know what I mean? But if your church, like, for instance, you could be preaching on any passage of scripture, and you're gonna work the gospel in there, right?
Yeah.
You're not just gonna preach on anxieties or financial troubles or tithing. I don't know how many tithing services I've been in my life,
yeah,
where, you know, God forbid a stranger walked in that day.
Right, and heard tithing.
And just the whole thing's on tithing.
Yeah.
There's no call to repentance. There's no identification of depravity, stuff like that. You know what I mean? So I just think that's an interesting topic. That's kind of what I wanted to lead into for the next.
And I think we should post it. And, you know, we're going to get different views on it, though.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, God forbid somebody says, the gospel's praying the Hurricane Maria away.
That's been on your mind, maybe.
Yeah, because it annoys me. It annoys me. And the reason why, to hear them justify it. Look, we're not trying to talk about it right now.
Well, I mean, you know what's funny?
What?
So, obviously, you put yourself in a lot of those circles lately. I've only seen a little bit because I just don't have it around me.
Well, you delete a lot of friends.
I seen one thing that was... I didn't delete nobody.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I seen one John that was hilarious.
What?
And I guess it was when the hurricane was coming to Florida.
Uh-huh.
And was that the one where they were, like, praying on the beach or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were the next day, they had a picture of the map. And, like, the hurricane, like, turned more inland.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, praise God, we were able to redirect the storm. He listened. The storm went away.
Uh-huh.
But it went more inland to, like, all the other towns and, like, hit everybody else worse. It didn't go out to sea and it didn't, like, miss everybody. Like,
yeah.
It actually hit more people.
Yeah.
And people were, like, so happy that they prayed away from their town.
It's just so selfish. Like, you know, people praying and... North Carolina, the hurricane doesn't hit them, but
it hits
every state under them.
Well, I think it hits a topic of, not being comfortable with not being in control, yeah, right? Like, we have a problem with not being in control of our lives, and that's just a silly example of it. I'm not saying you don't say, God, keep us safe, or, you know, God, if it's your will, let the storm pass, but... There's, like, the sense of needing to be able to do it yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody that you had a hard time with had.
Yeah. And this is the thing. Like, all I got to do is just ask. Just show me the biblical proof of this. And just let it
just
be
show
proof.
Show me the, like, money. That's it.
Just don't tell me Jesus prayed the storm away. Because I'm just going to say he will. He's God. You know? Like, but it... It is front, and you know what? I hold my tongue a lot because I'm also trying to be more gracious too. But on the other hand, it's like, are you gonna sit back and just, like, I don't know? I guess my pride gets in. Like, you gonna sit back and let these people believe in, and then I start, like, building, like, this right motive, and then I'm in the dirt again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm just preaching to people that's not gonna change.
True.
You know, so it's like, I don't know.
All right, man. Well, hey, I had a really good 25th episode.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody who sent in questions.
man.
Nobody.
You know what's funny, too? This is the second failed giveaway we've had.
Hey, look. I'll tell you what. You tell me this is a giveaway.
I don't want this Bible.
The Bible Wingnut page? Bible Thumping Wingnut. They had a nice little expensive Bible on there. I did everything they told me to do. And I ain't winning. So now every time I get an email, I get mad. Talking about subscribe to our email. Now I get an email, I'm bad.
I won a couple giveaways.
Yeah? And I actually met one of the guys who won it. He's like, yeah, this Bible good. I'm like, man. I mean, it'd probably just be sitting there in my collection.
I'm listening. I'm in the middle of a podcast that's on the Bible Thumping Wingnut network.
I hear a lot of good things about them.
Shout out to Bible Thumping Wingnut.
Yeah. All right, Bible Thumps.
Yeah, and when you
post would they be this, called thumpers?
I don't know, but I used to be called a Bible thumper when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Hey, tag them in this page. Maybe they'll shout us out.
Yeah, I'll find a page. Let me see.
Doubt it.
Have them link.
Especially because you're talking about Malta.
Malta. They don't like my no. They're white people too.
That's what I'm saying. You
don't. I love white people. I say that.
Well, guys, we love y'all as always.
All right, everybody, Maria, we love you and stay tuned for next week.
Yes, sir.
Maria out.